Okay, so I think it was decided that we would run Seth Struppas, at least for the time being, and see how far he gets to start from the beginning of Shas and take it from there. And Shas begins with the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. That's the first topic taken up by the Torah Shebal Peh. Some discussion as to why that is the appropriate first topic. The Rambam writes in his introduction to the Mishnayos that reflects the idea of Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. We're going to talk about Chachma, so we first have to emphasize that all of it stems from the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Kriyat Shema, essentially the Jewish Pledge of Allegiance, that's got to be the first thing that we talk about before we get into any other type of Chachma. The Shlach, the author of the Nos of Yehuda, an important commentary on Shas, particularly on the Sefer Brachos, so he has a couple of other suggestions as to why it is that the Torah Shebal Peh starts off with this topic. One theory he has is that it parallels the Aseres HaDibros. The Aseres HaDibros are the ikar of Torah Shebal Shas, so to speak. So it begins, Anoshi Hashem Elokecha, so then it parallels Torah Shebal Peh, starts with a discussion of Kriyat Shema. He then also suggests that perhaps it's there to address the concern that maybe you're going to think that if there are two Torahs, the Torah Shebal Shas and the Torah Shebal Peh, then maybe Chalila there are two gods also. So therefore, when we start the Torah Shebal Peh, we start the second Torah, so the first thing we emphasize is Hashem Elokecham Hashem Echad. There's only one God. That's another idea he has. And the third idea he has is that the text of Kriyat Shema itself seems to emphasize the importance of Torah Shebal Peh. Because the focus on the Shinantem Levanecha that we should spend so much time learning, so the written text is not so long. The written text doesn't convey such an important or such an all-consuming type of obligation. But once we get into Torah Shebal Peh, as we know, so there's a lot more, so that's a lot more to take on. So that obligation already addressed, already alluded to in Kriyat Shema itself, so perhaps once we begin this undertaking of Torah Shebal Peh, so we want to deal with the text which conveys its importance. So before we'll start reading this Mishnah, so maybe we'll talk a little bit about this mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And the major theme of the first three prakim of Maseches Brachos. Brachos talks about the Kriyat Shema and these prakim. Then it talks about the Tila, the next few prakim. Then it gets to Brachos HaMazon, Brachos HaNenim first, and then Brachos HaMazon, and then the other Brachos. So it's essentially roughly in three-thirds is Kriyat Shema, Tila, and all the Brachos. So the Kriyat Shema, which takes up the first third of the Maseches. So what is Kriyat Shema? So Kriyat Shema, we tend to assume, la halacha, that Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah min haTorah. That's probably true. It's not 100% unanimous. It's machlokes in the Gemara, actually. The Gemara later on has two opinions about this. The Gemara talks about if a person has a suffix, whether or not he recited Kriyat Shema, so is he obligated to say it again, which is often the test case for whether something is deraisa or derabanan, because we say sofek deraisa lahachmir, sofek derabanan lahakel. So that being the paradigmatic test case, so that issue the Gemara has a debate. The Gemara says we're not so sure. Again, lahalacha we tend to favor the view that Kriyat Shema is deraisa. There are some Rishonim who might differ. There's a Tosis in the Sefer Sota, a Tosis in the Sefer Nachas. You find a few scattered Tosis in here and there, which do seem to favor the view that Kriyat Shema is Rabbanan. But almost all the Rishonim felt differently. We'll discuss, when we get a little bit into this first sugya, that the Shagas Aryeh interpreted Rebbeinu Tam as understanding Kriyat Shema as Rabbanan. And he finds that so objectionable, that's why he disputes the view of Rebbeinu Tam, but he interprets that way. We'll discuss if that's really the only way to understand what Rebbeinu Tam is saying,
Does Rambam hold it's the Rabban or the Raisa?
Rambam holds the Raisa, but it's a little complicated as to what exactly he's talking about. That's really the next question, which we'll get to in a second. But there are those who maintain, the Karanora talks about this also, Karanora is also an important commentary on the Gemara. The Karen Ora, written by Rabbi Yaakov Karlin. So, please, brother Mishkanos Yaakov, if I remember correctly.
Who is not a Chassid.
Right. So, he notes that the question is, what does it mean when the Torah says that you have to, B'shanantum, when you have to write about Shitz Chol Yisafa, it says that you have to talk about this during the morning when you are awake and when you're going to sleep. So we understand that's a reference to Kriya Shema. So if you don't assume that that's an obligation in the Torah, so then what's that a reference to? So then that's a reference to Talmud Torah. So does that mean it's a general reference to Talmud Torah? So some understood that, no, maybe everyone agrees that there's some obligation of recitation in the morning and in the night. And that maybe those who dispute that Kriya Shema is Minat Torah felt that there's a broader range of psukim that could have qualified. And that the dispute is just whether it has to be Kriya Shema specifically. But everyone agrees that there's some chiyuv of reciting psukim specifically at night and during the daytime.
During the Avraham, you know, the initial period, the start of Dibud was though. The substitute of Kriya Shema?
Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like that's something they wanted to make as part of the package, but not necessarily substituted. But in theory, this other view is open to something like that. That other psukim could have been there. It's interesting. This is not the kind of view yeshivas would necessarily want to publicize. But for example, we know the Gemara says that there's an issur of sicha b'teila, that we shouldn't talk about things other than the Torah. Because the Pasuk says that we have to be learning day and night, so the Ursa Meach and his commentary to Hilchos Talmud Torah, so he points out that that's actually not a Liba de Hilchosa, that's not a practical halacha. Again, it's not something that we really publicize, but that's assuming that the Pesukim are talking about Talmud Torah. So it says, in order to take that view, you have to maintain Kriya Shema as Rabbanan. But since we maintain that Kriya Shema is Minat Torah, it means we don't assume those psukim are talking about Talmud Torah, they're talking about Kriya Shema, so therefore the drasha that the Gemara has, that there is a Gedarsh Abam, the Lo B'dvarim B'Teilim, so that's not a Libet HaHokhasa, because that's working on the assumption that the Gedarsh Abam is talking about Talmud Torah, but we assume that the Gedarsh Abam is talking about Kriya Shema, so therefore that whole drasha is not practical halacha. Again, we're still pro Talmud Torah and anti-Bichl Torah, but that specific drasha, that the Ursa Meach explains that that's reflective of this debate, that there is some question as to what the Dibar Tzavam is talking about. But the halacha, we assume, is talking about Kriya Shema, that that's a mitzvah min HaTorah. That was the view of the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim. So then, even if one assumes that that's the case, so then there is still a very big machlokas as to what is included in that, what is part of the mitzvah min HaTorah of Kriya Shema. So there's a range of opinions about that as well. We won't get into a lot of detail about it now, because some of the points, the proofs will come out from the Gemara, so we'll reserve some of the discussion to when we see the Gemaras. But just to quickly sketch out, there are at least four views, some more compelling than others. Some understand that the obligation is really just the first pasuk. When we say Kriya Shema is Minat Torah, all it means is that basic recitation of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's really the obligation of Kriya Shema Minat Torah. There are Gemaras that sound like that. Maybe we'll see them. We'll see how far we get.
So the Bat Tepam then works with that concept.
Right.
And it's even if you hold the Raisa,
it might just be that one pasuk. Right.
So then the whole Torah on the Bat would then fit in, because the rest is the Rabbanon. The Bat HaBam is in...
Right, but the Bat HaBam would still be a reference to this. It wouldn't be included within it. That's, you mean that the section that has it wouldn't be included. And we'll discuss in a second other sheikhs that give more significance to it being included within it. But it would still be referring to this mitzvah d'oraisa of Shema. But it would be included in the text.
Even though it's not at the right...
Right. You're right in emphasizing that the significance of it being within that text that it's referring to is something that some of the Achronim do emphasize, as we'll talk about in a second. So that's one issue, or one possibility that it contains, that it refers only to the first pasuk essentially. What does that say about Baruch Shem? So, Lahalacha, we treat Baruch Shem as if it's got all the dinim of the first pasuk in terms of practice, even though it's not there in the Chumash, it's not there with Shema Yisrael. In general, it's a tricky subject to say what we refer to as Kriya Shema, the whole three paragraphs. So it's very hard to understand how that could be the mitzvah. So we'll talk about it a little bit, but because the Torah doesn't present the three paragraphs together. So to say that there's some clear directive from the Chumash to recite these three paragraphs as one obligation is a difficult position to explain. So especially if you want to include Baruch Shem, which is the Chol, not there in terms of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. We know the Gemara Maseches Pesachim tells us how it got there. The Gemara has a whole discussion about how we should relate to Baruch Shem. The Gemara tells the story about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu met with his grandchildren, and he was worried about what was their status. The Ephraim and Manasseh was worried about were they religious Jews or not, and he wanted to reveal to them what was going to happen, and then he lost his Ruach HaKodesh, and he thought that maybe it was an indication that there was something lacking in them. So they said to him, Shema Yisrael, listen, Yisrael, Yaakov, you should know, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the Gemara says, Kishem Shein B'libucha Ala Echad, Kach Ein B'libeinu Ala Echad. The same way that you only believe in one God, we also only believe in one God, don't worry, we're the same as you. And he responded back to that, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Elohim Vod. So the Gemara says we don't really know how to deal with this possibly, because on the one hand, Moshe didn't say it, that they're in the Chumash in that way. On the other hand, Yaakov did say it. So how should we deal with it? So the Gemara says we whisper it. That's how we deal with it. So I have a couple of questions how to relate to that as well. What exactly does that accomplish? What does that mean? So the Rishonim explain that the issue seems to be one of Hefsek. Hefsek is really the topic of the second part. The Mishnah, beginning the second parak of Brachos, discusses the question of Hefsek and Kriya Shema, when you can make a Hefsek. So apparently it was a question, how can we justify sticking in Baruch Shem over there? Isn't that some type of an interruption? So apparently this somehow deals with it. So here's another position that we don't want to publicize. First one is that the Torah Gemara not being a legal to help us. So here, especially in shuls, we don't want to emphasize this week at all. But the Tzlach commenting over there, he says, you see from that Gemara that apparently if you're whispering, it's not a hefsek. Because how exactly does that answer the question? And so how do we, so why should we say something Moshe didn't say? How can we whisper it? So what good does that do? Apparently that doesn't constitute a hefsek on some level. So that's a difficult idea, l'halacha, but an interesting notion. So l'halacha, we treat...
And then we young people, we do make hefsek?
And then, sorry, what?
And young people, we should... Ah,
right, so that's another question. So how exactly, the fact you say it out loud, and Kippur, how does that fit in? So that's itself a little bit of a difficult idea to understand. Those aesthetic relation where Warman points out in one of his farm, I think it's a repair, something like that, that says that the psukim that we add Friday night between right before Shemon Esrei and Maariv to whisper them. So that that was based on the tzlach, because the Shiloh, why we're adding these things in the middle of Shema and Shemon Esrei. So maybe it was based on this idea that the tzlach had...
Before Shemon Esrei.
Right. Right, so that it shouldn't be a hefsek, that maybe somehow that helps. Again, that would not should not be taken as a recommendation to whisper in shul, but it's an interesting shita in general. So, l'halacha, when the Gemara talks about dinim that apply to the first pasuk,
whispering Torah.
Right, so whisper certainly Baruch Shem is in that category, but either way, it's that's not the answer the Gemara gives, though, so it's an interesting point. So that when we talk about dinim, and the Gemara's going to later on have dinim that applies specifically to the first pasuk, so we apply that to the group. We don't break up those two. We don't Shema and Baruch Shem, we always say it together. So that's one opinion that you find in the Rishonim, that it only refers to that one pasuk. Another view that is somewhat popular in the Rishonim is that the first paragraph is the mitzvah ma'atorah, which would address a little bit what you were bringing up, that at least it includes v'divartem bam, so it should be part of its content. And that is it one among the Rishonim who are understood to have this view is Rashi, that's in this first sugya that we'll get to right after our introductory discussion here. So we'll see how that is attributed to him. But that's another view that you find, a pretty popular view. And then there is the view that the first two paragraphs constitute Kriya Shema. So Pri Chodesh, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, in the back of Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, so Pri Chodesh has a long essay where he goes through all the shittas on this issue about what is Kriya Shema D'Oraisa. And he writes, in his opinion, he thinks that's the most compelling view, to say that the first two parshiyos are Minhag Torah, that makes the most sense, because those are the ones that both contain some type of directive of Dibarta Bam, Ladaber Bam, so that they include some type of reference to speaking about that content. Again, emphasizing what you were emphasizing before, that that directive should be included within the parshiyos that we're identifying. So he thinks that's the most significant factor, and therefore he thinks that's the most compelling view, that the first two parashas are Minhag Torah. So then what happens with the third parasha? So the third parasha is really very difficult to say that that's Minhag Torah, but it sounds like that from the Rambam. The Rambam has a little bit of confusing language on this point, but he writes that all three parashas constitute Kriya Shema. Then it's a little unclear as to how he understands that all to be Minhag Torah. So Soloveitchik has an essay about this, has a Yartzeit Shir about this, where he basically suggests, and the Rambam's language is very consistent with this, and lends itself very much to being understood this way, that essentially when he says it's Minhag Torah, so it both does and doesn't mean that this is part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Minhag Torah. That there's another mitzvah Minhag Torah that's being thrown in here. That is the mitzvah Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. That we have an obligation to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, which seems to parallel, in its schedule at least, Kriya Shema. And it's a topic that the Gemara picks up at the end of this first parak, again reflecting the fact that they are interrelated on some level. And since Kriya Shema is a daytime and a nighttime obligation, and Yetzias Mitzrayim is a daytime and a nighttime obligation, so therefore it perhaps makes sense that they should be fulfilled together, should be fulfilled at the same time. So we can say that this third paragraph is an obligation in Minhag Torah, not necessarily because of Kriya Shema, but because of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Oh, so which was the first one to suggest?
No, the Rambam's language is very consistent with this. If you read it, and he goes through it in great detail, you know, the Yartzeit Shiur is several hours long, so just to digest it just to a sentence, there's a long process of proving it, and again, the Rambam almost says it explicitly. It essentially seems to be what he's saying. But as I said before, it's both is and isn't Kriya Shema, because it's not simply a convenience. It's not that, okay, we have these two mitzvot that have the same time span, so let's combine them. But rather, it seems that there is an additional fulfillment in Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that specifically expresses itself by being manifested in the context of Kriya Shema. That they synergize with each other, that the idea of this Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim talks about believing in one God, and believing in one God who took us out of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he has a whole development over there, that there are essentially different chiyuvim of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there's a specific fulfillment of doing it in this context. In this context, when you're recognizing a Kadosh Baruch Hu as the creation of the world, to also focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim as a part of our emunah, his guiding of the world. So then that's not simply a convenience to combine these two, but that the mitzvos are connected in that way. So there is this range of views, and we'll see some of the rayas that will come out from some of the Gemaras, that some of the points that the different Rishonim quote. And then there's also the question of Birchos Kriya Shema. How does Birchos Kriya Shema fit into the whole story? And that's itself a discussion, also something which you find in different rayas from the Gemara. There are different ways of looking at Birchos Kriya Shema. Some understand the phrase as they sound, that they are brachos of Kriya Shema, brachos that Chazal put onto Kriya Shema. And other Rishonim seem to be understanding differently. They're not brachos for Kriya Shema. They're tfilos that Chazal put in, which are structured around Kriyat Shema, but they don't have the didim of Kriyat Shema. So, for example, they will be subject to the Zman of Tefillah rather than the Zman of Kriyat Shema. And we'll discuss a little bit what difference that makes. It's also a topic that comes up in the very first sugya over here. So that's a whole discussion we'll see. The Gemara also has rayas and indications in terms of that as to how to understand the Birchas Kriyat Shema, the role that that has in the whole package of what we understand as Kriyat Shema. It's also a discussion, it was a major dispute in the Rishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban about how do we count the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. We know we have a mitzvah of Kriyat Shema during the daytime and a mitzvah of Kriyat Shema during the nighttime. So is that to be understood as one mitzvah or two mitzvahs, two separate ideas? Or is it one idea? We'll talk a little bit about how that affects things. There was a fascinating discussion that the author of the Shulchan Aruch got involved in his earlier work in his Kesef Mishnah, that the author of the Shulchan Aruch had the following problem, that the first Mishnah that we're going to see, we'll see if we get to it today, and maybe we'll get to it a little bit. The first Mishnah talks about the Zman of Kriyat Shema at night. And we'll see that the Mishnah essentially has three different opinions, one of which pegs the Zman of Kriyat Shema in the earlier part of the night, and that opinion does not get followed by halacha, barely gets much discussion. And the opinion that seems to dominate is that Kriyat Shema is all night. There's two versions of that opinion. One opinion that Kriyat Shema is actually recited all night, and another opinion that Kriyat Shema is functionally bound to Chatzos, that Chazal made a gzera that it should be recited before Chatzos, even though they also agree that it's all night. But it seems to be that the dominant view in the Mishnah is that at least theoretically Kriyat Shema is recited all night, and either it actually is, or it's Chazal limited it to Chatzos, but that they agree that the Din Min HaTorah is that it's read all night. The Kesef Mishnah, based on that, he says, I don't understand. So it's not fair. So why is it that we have a concept of Zman Kriyat Shema in the morning, which puts such a burden on those of us who don't come to a shiur at 6:20 in the morning? So if you come to a shiur at 6:20 in the morning, so Zman Kriyat Shema is rarely an issue for you. But if you get up a little bit later, so then sometimes so Zman Kriyat Shema can become a pressure. So how do we have such an issue? It seems to be that it's not fair, it's not parallel. Now here, Kriyat Shema all night is, Kriyat Shema at night time is all night, and Kriyat Shema during the daytime should parallel, should be all day. So the Kesef Mishnah is a distinguished pedigree. This is the author of the Shulchan Aruch. Kesef Mishnah says that it must be that Zman Kriyat Shema is only the Rabbanim, which would probably be the third sheet of this morning that we don't want to publicize. That he says that there's a lack of parallelism. That it sounds like from the Torah release to be essentially parallel concepts. There's a nighttime mitzvah and a daytime mitzvah. So if that's the case, so then the nighttime mitzvah, if in practice that means we observe that all night, at least in theory, that even Chazal agree that in theory the pasuk means Kriyat Shema can be recited all night. So why shouldn't daytime Kriyat Shema be all day? It seems to not parallel. Seems to not be fair. It should be read the same way. What indication do we have in the Torah that there should be any distinction between them? So if we follow the view in the Mishnah that Kriyat Shema at night is limited to what's understood as either a third or a quarter of the night, so then it would basically parallel. But since we don't follow that view, we follow the view that Kriyat Shema is all night, so why don't we say that Kriyat Shema during the day should also be all day? So his only possible way of addressing it is that it must be that it really is all day, min haTorah. The concept that Kriyat Shema is limited in any way is not from the Torah, that's a din derabbanan. That's the way he suggests. And this, despite its distinguished pedigree, was not accepted by the later poskim.
That's a din by himself.
Sorry? Well, in terms of halacha, it doesn't sound like he works off the assumption that it's Rabbanan, although, you know, it depends how you read some of the psakim. But the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham and others, So they disagree with this, and they say that, first of all, grammatically they think it's wrong. We said a minute ago that he says he doesn't see any distinction in the Torah, so I'm assuming that the grammar is read a certain way. But we're assuming that Shach Bucha and Kumecha are identical terms. But they're not necessarily identical terms, just grammatically. That Shach Bucha means when you are lying down. Uva Kumecha is not really the opposite of that. It doesn't mean when you are standing. Uva Kumecha means when you are getting up. So therefore, it has a different connotation to it. It doesn't mean all of the time that you were standing, but it seems to reflect the beginning of the time when you are getting up. So therefore, maybe the Torah itself focuses on the beginning of the time.
That's difficult, but then the Shastacha should be the same thing.
Except that the word, why the Torah uses two different words would be a fair question, but still the word itself, Shchiva, means lying down, and the opposite of Shchiva is Kadri Amida, to be standing up. But the word Kima, it means the Torah itself is using two non-parallel terms. So that maybe it does indicate some type of a difference.
And it's much more from the Gemara.
Right. So then it's interesting in general. So then when we have a machlokas later on, or discussion, rather, what is the Zman Kriya Shema in the morning? So then it gets into a whole question of what does it mean when we try to figure these out? Or was it a Matthias question? So what is the time when people get up? Is that the whole issue? Is it about interpreting Sukkim? We'll also find
is man a derice issue or is man a derabbanim issue? Because tefillah is a derabbanim.
Right, with tefillah, but Kriya Shema is not.
But so where does man? So we say Kriya Shema is the one thing. The Brichas Shemon says that's deraisa.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody agrees. But in the context of how you apply it, is that a derabbanim or the man is a deraisa and not a derabbanim?
That seems to be a little bit of an issue here. So the Kesef Mishnah is assuming that there's a distinction, that really Kriya Shema is a mitzvah deraisa, he'll agree with that much, but that it's bound to any time, that's derabbanan.
And everybody
else? Well, everyone else seems to understand it differently. If you look, there is a sefer called Klintris Pnei Yehoshua, which should not be confused with the Pnei Yehoshua, it's a much later sefer, it's a 20th century sefer. And I think it's a Haskama from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, if I'm not mistaken, it's a much later sefer. So the Klintris Pnei Yehoshua is on Maseches Brachos, but not all of Maseches Brachos. It's on this part, not the first parak, but the first daf. Not the whole first daf, I think it's only the first omen. So he has the whole sefer is on. Yeah, so, well, he has a lot to say. So he has, I think if I remember correctly, 5 long essays about the first daf of Brachos. So it makes up the sefer Klintris Pnei Yehoshua. So he takes up the issue, he points out a subtle point, which I don't know if many others spend time on, but he notes that if you look carefully in the way the Rishonim describe the way the mitzvah and Torah of Kriya Shema is derived, so he suggests that there is a subtle difference, that the question is of Dibarta Bam, is that the Makar? Or is it Shachbucha Uvekumecha? That do we say that there's one long phrase, Dibarta Bam Shachbucha Uvekumecha, that essentially is one mitzvah of Kriya Shema which has Zmanim that define it, or is the source of the Chiyuv, Shachbucha Uvekumecha, each one has its own Chiyuv to it, has its own drasha to it. So it gets a little bit to your question, is there one fluid derivation of the mitzvah and the Zman together, or is the Zman and the mitzvah two separate concepts? And he goes on to expound about that a little bit. So it's a little bit under the surface of what the Kesef Mishnah is getting at, that maybe really Mahatarit should be one long all-day obligation. And Chazal came in and imposed this Zman. But this, again, wasn't accepted by the later Poskim. And they have an interesting way of objecting, which opens up a whole other can of worms. And they say that according to the Kesef Mishnah, so they thought it was against a Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah is against the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, there's some Girsa question in this Mishnah also, but it sounds like from the Mishnah that women are pater from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema because it's considered to be a mitzvah sasei shahazman grama, the time-bound mitzvah. So they object that according to the case of Mishnah, it comes out that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is going 24/7. That there's not 1 minute during the day when there's no obligation of Kriya Shema. So why should we call that a mitzvah sasei shazman grama?
Unless it's two different mitzvahs.
Ah, so then that would seem to be his response. And this is something that Shlakis Arya gets into, and the Prima Gadim gets into a little bit, that presumably the Kesef Mishnah will say, that no, that that's not called, that is called a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, even though you have a mitzvah going constantly. But it's, they're shift workers, they have the nighttime mitzvah, the daytime mitzvah, and it's two separate mitzvahs. So then that essentially does qualify as mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So these other mafarshim on the Shulchan Aruch are objecting that you can't call that a mitzvah sasei shazman grama if it's running constantly. And apparently his response will be that no, if it's passing the baton on the nighttime mitzvah, the daytime mitzvah, two separate mitzvahs. We don't care about the fact that there's no time during the day when there's no mitzvah Kriya Shema. Still, ultimately, they are two separate mitzvahs, and therefore we can still see it as a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So that gets to a little bit the question of whether we see them as two mitzvahs or one mitzvah. Also a topic that the Pinterest Pnei Yeshua focuses on in his whole discussion over there. One could take it even further. Even if we said there was one mitzvah Kriya Shema, let's say there was, let's say you only had to recite one Kriya Shema once, every 24-hour period. But there was always some, any second of your life, you always could be fulfilling Kriya Shema. But a new obligation started every day. One could argue that that's still a mitzvah cessation, as my grandma, because still you have a pressure to fulfill it during this 24-hour period. And then when the new, let's say, we would define it as every morning there's a new obligation, you know, that begins. So if I have to get today's obligation in before tomorrow morning, one could argue that's still mitzvah sasei shazman grama, even though there's no minute of the day when the mitzvah doesn't apply. That maybe we could have thought that a mitzvah sasei she'ein hazman grama is only when you have some free-floating obligation that could be done anytime, today, tomorrow, next week, whenever it is, so then that's a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So that's a little bit of a question as to how to understand.
Does
what
that work always looking at mitzvah sasei shazman grama?
It could be, because in the way the Mishnah in Kedushin, which talks about Hashavas Aveda, or about putting a fence around your roof, about all of these dinim, so these are kind of one-time things, which it's not like I got to do them every day. I do them at some time, which is not defined by any specific time. So one could have argued even further that even if there's no distinction between nighttime and daytime, still it's still a daily mitzvah. So to say that it's not a mitzvah sasei shazman grama because there's no second when it doesn't apply, that's not necessarily mukhrach. So that's a whole discussion in and of itself. So the later achronim assume that this is what the Kesef Mishnah is focusing on, the fact that there are these two shifting obligations. But maybe even without that, we could still defend this position and say it's still a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, still consistent with the Mishnah. Okay, so we're just about out of time, but that basically sketches out the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, so that is a decent place to stop. So Tuesday morning, I guess, when we read them next. So we'll start reading the Mishnah then, and we'll try to get into a little bit the first Machlokas Rishon and Mishas. Very major, very, very practical point that's debated between Rashi and Tosfos over here that affects daily halacha in a very significant way, and also reflects a lot about all these concepts that we just addressed. Yes, very much has very relevance to our times, especially this time of year.